Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals the hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand, walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I'm just a man, when you are by my side, with the help of God, I know I can be strong.
Well, welcome to Yada Yada Radio and our Shabbat program. I'm pleased to be with you. We have JB and Kirk with us this evening. Hello, fellas.
Good evening.
How's it going?
Good. Well, you know, it was a tough week. Not the worst week that I've had since we began this project 15 years ago, but among the most disappointing, I guess. There's nothing I don't think will ever replace the week preceding the shows we did to expose Larry and Unpopular Truth. That was probably the worst week that I've had since I began translating Yahweh's Word. And a lot of that was because I considered Larry a friend. I liked him. I had recommended Unpopular Truth. I had engaged Larry in hundreds of shows. I had unfortunately ignored 100 letters from thoughtful people who told me that he was abusive, and that even during those shows he advocated his conspiracies. And while I rejected them during those shows, I should have realized that, you know, his site was filled with fake news and conspiracies, and indeed it was. It was a horrible experience having to do that. And this week we had a gentleman that I'll just call Larry Light for the moment, who's been vulgar in his promotion of anti-Semitic rants, and a man that, gosh, I had exchanged so many emails with that I grew to know, at least I thought I knew. I came to like, even respect his insights, and he turned out to be the largest proponent of what are just is stunningly vile anti-Semitic rants, videos that are just utterly despicable. And it's tough to separate from such people. Now, we're going to return to this in a moment, but I want to cover a few items in the news because we haven't touched on the news much recently. I don't know if you guys know it or not, but today was an extraordinarily bloody day in Israel. 6 people were killed today. 3 Israelis were stabbed to death, and all civilians, all unarmed, in a settlement, the articles will say, in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. It's not just Israeli-occupied in the sense that they're in their land. God gave it to them. They're in their homes. They built them. And Muslims, under the cover of darkness, snuck into their homes and stabbed these people to death and severely injured a woman. Their justification for the violence is that after rioting and shooting from the Temple Mount, and that would be the Jewish Temple Mount, Yahweh's Mount, Israeli security agencies put metal detectors so that you couldn't bring guns and weapons onto the mount. And the Muslims are having a conniption fit. A boss who's, they call the Palestinian president, but there is no such thing as a Palestinian, and he was not elected. He was soundly defeated the last time they had a vote. Said that he has ordered a suspension of all official contact with Israel until it removed the metal detectors. Now, what would you have against the metal? Is a Quran made out of metal? Are the little prayer blankies made out of metal? Are the burqas that the women are forced to wear made out of metal? What on earth is made out of metal that they're so disappointed can no longer be smuggled in to the Temple Mount? What are metal detectors designed to detect in public buildings and airports around the world? Weapons?
Guns. Weapons.
We can't have our weapons in our mosque? How dare you, Israel? And as a result, Muslims went on a terrorist spree. And they
killed three Israelis. They don't have weapons.
What a despicable religion. And those that defend it, I hope they enjoy their stay in hell and Sheol. What was interesting is the picture, of course, that went along with this, and of course the absolute inability of anybody who writes for any periodical to exercise any discretion, any judgment, show any character in covering stories regarding Israel, make it look like it's the Israelis' fault. Although, how could you ever think that it's appropriate on your Temple Mount to have metal detectors to keep jihadists from smuggling in weapons? You horrible country, you. It's just stunningly despicable. Nobody in the media wants to take any time to understand the nature of Islam, or to even understand what in the hell are those mosques doing
on the Temple Mount.
In Jerusalem, on Yahweh's home. What are they doing there? So it was a very sad day. This is the men who were killed were 60 and 40 years old, and a woman was murdered who was 40 years old. And this Muslim, oh boy, is he a brave and honorable jihadist. He stabbed a 68-year-old woman who has wounds to her back and abdomen. Lovely. Lovely. It's such a lovely religion. Oh, by the way, the picture that corresponded with it, huge picture. It's got a bunch of Islamic jihadists from Hamas. So proud of themselves, they cover their faces in cloths. Wearing black uniforms, all carrying AK-47s. And you know what is between each of these Islamic jihadists? Children. Little children. 5, 6, 7 years old. And you know who's standing behind them? Ugly Muslim woman wearing veils. That's what's standing behind them. You know, you look at this stuff, and a picture says 1,000 words. Why would anybody in their right mind support such people, support such a disgusting religion? And yet they do. You know, a number of the anti-Semitic videos, they all had posts after them. and the people making the posts and the content of the videos, we're all want to say that it's the Jews who are terrorists. They have brought another Holocaust on themselves, and they will deserve this Holocaust because of the way that they're murdering Islamic women and children. They're the real terrorists. God, I tell you, the world is so screwed up. You know, it's a wonder that Yahweh has shown restraint and hasn't wiped out humankind. Because there aren't many worth saving.
You know, I noticed the media this week. I haven't been listening to a lot of news, but as I was driving back and forth to work, the news, some of the talk radio people are so defending Muslims going to Europe and, you know, even,
yeah.
I just never heard on conservative radio as much as it is now. It's just, is everybody nuts?
Yeah, I saw one article that had this woman that was on. She identified herself as a feminist Muslim. That's like a military pacifist. that's a military pacifist. Now, Islam is the most degenerate religion ever conceived by humankind in terms of the way that it treats women.
Sure.
Women are property. Women are treated worse than Americans are allowed to treat pets, worse than we treat cattle. Mm-hmm. There is no religion in the history of humankind, no political movement in the history of humankind that has been so demeaning to women. And you've got an idiot out there wearing her little hijab that claims to be a Muslim feminist. God, the world is screwed up. Now, speaking of screwed up, I saw this article, and I was just dumbfounded by it. I'm going to read a little bit of it. It says, the Obama administration pondered deploying armed federal agents to polling places, also U.S. troops, last November to counter any potential cyber attacks targeting the U.S. electric system, according to newly released playback prepared during last year's race. Quote, in almost all potential cases of malicious cyber activity impacting election infrastructure, state, local, tribal, and territorial governments, to include their law enforcement agencies, will have primary jurisdiction to respond. In the event of a significant incident, however, the document said that the federal government was prepared to activate a range of enhanced procedures, including domestic military deployment. Quote, the Department of Defense may support civil authorities in response to cyber incidents based upon a request from a federal agency and direction from the Secretary of Defense or the President, the document said. Holy good God! I mean, nothing says freedom like having the army at your polling place.
That's South American. Do that a lot, South American.
Oh, man. And, of course, the military, which is trained to destroy and kill, defending against a cyber attack has got to be the most insane use of the military ever conceived.
You know, I know a little bit about cybersecurity. I work in IT, yep. And last I checked, a gun doesn't do much to stop a networked computer.
No.
If I'm all the way on the other side of the world,
your
gun's not
going to
affect me.
Nor does the U.S. military. Has absolutely no jurisdiction, no effect, no ability whatsoever to deploy the U.S. military because of a cyber threat.
So who are they trying to frighten?
Oh, of course, the American people. Don't you dare vote for somebody that this government doesn't want you to vote for. We're going to shoot you.
If you're putting in the slot, how do they know? So what could they possibly do? Unless they're going to stand in the booth with you.
Well,
I don't vote. So if you're
if the U.S. election mechanism was vulnerable to cyber attack, and at this point we have no indication that it was. In fact, we have no really indication that the Russians meddled in the U.S. election other than some Russian citizens may have been responsible for outing the disgusting emails the dishonest, deplorable, duplicitous emails of Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, if that influenced the election, it's not the Russians' fault. It's Hillary's fault.
Hmm.
She wrote them. Own it. But
it's like, think of it in different terms. If she had killed someone and someone released, you know, the body with all the evidence showing she had killed him, is it their fault for releasing the evidence or her fault for committing murder?
Right. If you say duplicitous, disgusting things in your emails, and somebody reveals your emails, is it the fault of the person who exposed what you wrote, or you for writing it? And only thing I can think about on this whole Russian thing is that the military and the spy agencies are looking for an enemy because they have no purpose. So if the Russians are bad all of a sudden, well, then we have an enemy. And if we have an enemy, then you need to fund us, and we're important.
It goes back to George Orwell, The Endless War. People riled up against an enemy, it's easy to manipulate them, control them, and and justify your own existence.
And they can't imagine, the Democrats can't imagine that they lost. The Republicans just love the idea of Russia being the enemy. They've never gotten over the Cold War period. So they're so pro-military and so spy agency that they just love the idea of Russia being an enemy, and the Democrats love it because then they have an excuse for losing the election that has nothing to do with them. This next item in the news is I'm broadcasting today from Cincinnati, Ohio, where the dominant schools are Roman Catholic schools, where Roman Catholicism is absolutely dominant. At least 547 young members of a boys' choir in Germany were subject to physical and sexual abuse over a period of 60 years. Some 49 members of the Catholic Church, the priests and nuns, were accused of carrying out the abuse between 1945 and 1995. According to the reports. The victim said the experience was like a prison, hell, and a concentration camp. Why does the world allow the Roman Catholic Church to exist? If you were a business and your employees perpetrated such hellish behavior against children, you'd be out of business in a heartbeat, and all of the officers of your company would be put in prison.
In prison.
If you were any institution other than a godforsaken Roman Catholic Church, your hierarchy would be in prison, and your institution would be so discredited that no one would donate a dime to it or ever subject their children to it. Another 547 children from the 1945 to 1995 sexually and physically abused by 49 members of the Roman Catholic Church. And guess who the overseer was of this facility? the previous pope, the Pope Emeritus. Ratzinger, Benedict. Representatives of the boys' choir and Roman Catholicism have not responded to the report. Presenting his findings, Weber said the investigation found 500 cases of physical abuse and 67 instances of the most despicable forms of sexual abuse. Of the 49 church members who carried out the abuse under what was described as a culture of silence, 9 have been found to have been the perpetrators of the worst sexual abuse. The victims described their experiences at the boarding schools in southern Germany as the worst time of their lives, characterized by fear, violence, and hopelessness. The head of the choir from 1964 to 1994, George Ratzinger, could be blamed for looking the other way and failing to intervene. Mr. Ratzinger, the 93-year-old elder brother of the former Pope Benedict, has denied any knowledge of the alleged abuse. Stunning, huh? The church previously offered to pay the victims a compensation of 5,000 euros.
Well, you know, that's
just make it go away.
You know, the very fact that they're willing to pay that kind of money tells you that there's validity to the claims.
Yeah.
If it was all a lie, you knew it was a lie, wouldn't you challenge it?
Yeah. You would, wouldn't you? But it's not a lie. The lie is Roman Catholicism. I received this letter from one of the many people that I CC'd on my correspondence regarding the two individuals promoting, not only promoting anti-Semitic videos, but engaged in a despicable rant against those who said they're inappropriate. And I've been doing a lot of soul searching, trying to figure out why this is happening. Because you know, it wasn't all that long ago that we had to deal with Larry and Unpopular Truth, and they still haven't gone away. They're as vile and disgusting as ever. And it appears that that their legacy lives on. And so I've been doing a lot of soul searching. I'm going to just share one letter that was sent to me. It reads, "Dear Craig, I plead guilty for having taken advantage of your clearly expressed reason and evidence to find out about the way. I had written early this week, and when I first was exposed to the horror that was being presented and promoted, you know, on the family sites, that with people who claim to be part of the covenant. And so I said, you know, something I'm doing is obviously wrong. And I was trying to figure out what it was that I was doing that was causing people to claim to be covenant who clearly are not. Their words demonstrate that they really have no idea what the covenant's all about. I mean, there is no one on earth that could possibly promote these kinds of anti-Semitic rants, just lies against Jews, that could actually be part of a covenant that was formed with Jews, for Jews, by the God of the Jews, in the land of the Jews, and whose terms and conditions are known only to us because of the Jews. That would be insane.
Yeah.
So I had thought that perhaps the failing here was that I did what neither Yahweh or Yosha had done. If you look at the terms and conditions of the Torah, if you look at the purpose of the Boet Bikrei, if you consider the intent of the Torah, it's all discernible. If you search for how to pronounce Yahweh's name, it's all discernible. If you closely examine and carefully consider Yahweh's word, you can come to a very clear, concise understanding of who Yahweh is, what he's offering, what he expects, and how his plan unfolds in our lives. And I went about systematically, first proving that Yahweh exists through prophecy, proving that he inspired the Torah, prophets, and Psalms because of that prophecy. And then systematically went from the creation account, demonstrating its accuracy, to the flood and demonstrating its accuracy, to the establishment of the covenant with Abraham, itemizing each of the conditions and each of the benefits as they were presented by God. And then went through each of the seven mikvah and explained the role they play in facilitating the benefits of the covenant. And I realized that Yahweh didn't do it that way. His truth about these things, the insights that we need to have for understanding, are never truncated. They're never systematized. They're presented in an ocean of millions of words. To find the truth, you've got to work at it. You've got to invest the time. You've got to be willing to do the research. You've got to have an open mind. You've got to have a rational approach. You've got to love Hebrew. You've got to be willing to go where the words lead. And, well, I've been at it for 15 years, and I'm still learning. And I devote an enormous amount of time every day to it. And I thought that by making it easy, perhaps that is the reason that people were parroting Yahweh's name and parroting snippets of the transliterations and the terminology and the insights and the translations that I had derived over these 15 years, who clearly were not part of the covenant and had no clue who Yahweh really is or what he wants or is offering. And I thought, maybe I just made it too easy. Maybe I made it possible to act upon these things, to parrot these things without ever understanding them, because the person didn't actually engage doing, JB, what you've done, and Kirk, what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, yada yada, and intro to God and questioning Paul are just starting points. They're invitations to jump in. They're invitations to go on a voyage of discovery to search Yahweh's Torah, prophets, and Psalms.
Look how many times he wrote each one of them.
Yeah, just, right.
I mean, that's right. Say, yeah, it's an ongoing, organic
thing.
It's
an ongoing, it's the greatest adventure of a lifetime. And so I thought maybe it was that I made it too easy, and therefore people were just parroting things that they didn't understand, and Yahweh and Yosha did not do that. So I thought, perhaps that strategy is to blame. And then two things dawned on me. One is, actually three. The first is folks like Jim here that wrote me that letter, and there's more to the letter. Jim used what I provided as a starting point, as an opportunity to think, to study, to learn. And so did you, Kirk, and so did you, JB, and so did so many others. And so it has indeed benefited those with the right approach, those with the right attitude, those with the right perspective, those with a willingness, a desire to learn. So that can't be a bad thing. The next thing I realized is that, you and I laughed about this earlier today, Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exactly make it easy.
No.
I would guess that between questioning Paul, observations for our time, and introduction to God, and yada yada, there's got to be close to 10,000 pages. That's hardly it. The cliff notes.
Yeah, that's in short form.
Yeah, that's in short form. I think I'll get a pass on, you just summarized the whole thing and made it too easy. So I try as I will, I don't think I can bear that blame. Yeah, I don't. And it's not an easy read. And every time somebody has asked me for the short version, I've refused to give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I guess that's not it either. Then it dawned on me. Almost all of these really faux individuals, these souls that are citing Yahweh's name and claiming to be covenant, whose words prove that they do not know him and are clearly not part of his family, that they came to see these things in social media, and not just in any form of social media. Many of them were negatively influenced and misled at Unpopular Truth. What they saw was words and ideas and translations out of context, placed within a sea of lies supporting fake news and conspiracy theories. And in a sea of fake news and conspiracy theories, snippets of truth out of context are absolutely capable of misleading. And that's where we got. That's the source of this problem. Is that too many people were influenced by Unpopular Truth and by other Facebook social media sites where little snippets of information are presented, always out of context, and surrounded by some of the most absurd lies. And while I could say that's not my fault, I am to blame. One of the worst mistakes of my life was failing to act against Larry and Unpopular Truth. I let my friendship, the fact that we had been through so much together, I let it influence me. I ignored hundreds of emails from people that said, the man's abusive. He is doing a tremendous disservice. He is driving away thousands of people from Yahweh and from your translations. I ignored them. I just did. I was wrong. I waited way too long. And what that did is it enabled him to continue to mislead people, to influence these people, to cause them to believe things that simply are not true. To have such that a disproportionate number of covenant, those who claimed to be part of the covenant, I don't think they really were huge proponents of just absolutely stupid conspiracies. And I was wondering, how is it possible to have somebody accept something that is so profound, so intellectually stimulating, something that takes all of your intellect to wrap your head around, requires you to be judgmental and reasonable. How can such people also embrace such absurd lies? Chemtrails and false flags at the Pulse nightclub and the Boston Marathon and World Trade Center being perpetrated by the U.S. government and the myths about vaccines. How is it possible? I understand now. It's possible because snippets of Yahweh's word were taken out of context and presented to thousands of people in a cesspool of conspiracy and fake news. They couldn't distinguish between the two because they were inseparable. That's what happened. We're still feeling the effects of it. Now the conspiracy is the worst of all. There is a conspiracy far worse than blaming Sandy Hook on the U.S. government, the Boston Marathon, and the Pulse nightclub, 9/11. There's a conspiracy far worse than convoluting condensation trails into chemtrails and being anti-vaccine, even though vaccines have saved so many lives. And that is the conspiracy that is being promoted now, which is anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, anti-Jew, anti-Israel. And they're filled, absolutely filled with lies. It wouldn't take anyone more than 30 minutes to debunk any one of the four videos. And yet, they were promoted with a religious zeal. by two people claiming to be Covenant. Kirk has volunteered to participate in doing an investigation well underway, as a matter of fact, on one of the videos demonstrating just how many deceptions are in it. The one that purports to claim that, to quote the Talmud and then blame all Jews based upon the Talmud, I wrote down the first five references and looked them all up, and they say nothing even close to what is in the videos. So we'll systematically be...
Yeah, that's one of the things I see on a lot of those conspiracy theory type videos, is where they will cite something that is a very obscure text, like the Talmud, outside of Judaism. Most people know very little about it. And they'll quote something from it, and nobody will bother to go check it. Yeah, and so you get the same thing with, people do that with the Bible even. You know, you'll hear people like, oh, well, it says this. And you look at where they're quoting, and it doesn't actually say anything close to what they're saying. And if you don't take the time to check the facts being presented in a video, you can get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. You know, there has been that is correct. There have been a lot of people who have written me over the past few years saying that they're uncomfortable. They think the problem is with the written word, and that the written word, because you don't have tone and you can't hear the person speaking, that the written word is the problem. And these videos, of course, are all spoken word. It is so much easier to mislead with the spoken word. That's why Hitler was so effective.
Yeah,
he did speak to a generation of people. And he did speak to 40 of his prophets. Throughout time, and for the rest of us, he is known only through the written word. It isn't inadequate. It isn't inferior. It is absolutely superior. More enduring, more exacting, more detailed, easier to investigate. There's one of the reasons that a lot of these idiots on these videos don't want to write anything down, because it's way too easy to copy and paste what they wrote and then set the truth right next to it. Much harder to have to listen to what they say, type it up, then tell you when it was presented in this video, and then go from there. So they just spew their poison on these videos. And we had members who claimed, people who claimed to be part of the covenant, that were promoting these with religious zeal. And you think, how could you do that? How? Why wouldn't you do some investigation? And then I read the posts that were underneath them. And these were written by neo-Nazis, and the most absurd, disgusting, vile people you'd ever want to meet. And you'd think that before you'd claim to be part of the covenant and promote this as if it was true, you'd read who you've gone to bed with, who you're in league with, who agrees with you.
That's one of the things, even if I agreed with what was in the video, I would not post anything related to that video based on the comments.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, that's one of the things. Even if I agreed with the video, I don't want to be associated with those people.
And to agree with the video,
Facebook,
you have to be ignorant to
interact on that, because I don't want them to even be anywhere close to us. You know?
We're going to, in a moment here, I want to finish Jim's letter, and then we're going to talk briefly here with Lisa, and then we're going to turn to chapter 9, because what we're going to do is Lisa has volunteered to do an investigation on the myth that has been promoted by one individual, and these two individuals are now nameless, and they're nameless primarily. We're not nameless on observations today. You're welcome to listen to it. I would encourage you to listen to it. They are nameless tonight, only because JB has had one of these individuals into his home, and he, even more than me, and I was stunned when I went to this individual's Facebook site when I saw what he was advocating with my own eyes. I could not believe that this person was doing this. But until JB has the opportunity to go to his site and see what he has posted, then I will not mention his name. But what I want to do, let me finish this letter. When we're going to find that Lisa is willing to refute his written claim, which is that the Jews who are claiming to be Jews today, and whether they're living in Israel or the United States, are not real Jews, that they're of other ethnicity. It's a lie that was purported by people with no credibility back about 20 to 30 years ago. And it was debunked. I did my own research 15 to 20 years ago and debunked it very easily. I wish I had my research, my files from those times. I don't. But Lisa has volunteered to track that down, and I'm going to refute the videos which claim to cite the Talmud and blame all Jews for the Talmud, and then Kirk is going to deal with the historical, hysterical revisionist history that is sought to slather Jews as a race of people that wish to enslave the world and control it. So that is what we will do. Let me just finish this letter by Jim. It goes on to say, had that association ever occurred, I'd be a lost soul. Yes, you've made it easy in a way, I suppose. And I am slow in really applying myself rather than hungrily awaiting the next installment of observations and Blog Talk Radio. But I will get there slowly. I see nothing inconsistent between these despicable actors and generators generations of what Yeshua described as a den of vipers. What is really the difference between the den of vipers and these individuals? I'm sure you will sort things out and perhaps revise your approach to doing your work, but it hurts me to see you beating yourself up over it. Did Dad say that this was going to be easy, non-controversial? For what it's worth, thanks for the inspiration you received and subsequently put into action. My life has been enriched. Jim K. I'm really not beating... I was, for a while, beating myself up over this, because for this to have reoccurred, and it's stunningly destructive, and it undermines Yahweh's testimony and 15 years of my dedication to exposing what he said and insights that I've shared. And, you know, some 3,000-4,000 hours, I guess, now of talk radio programs and another 10,000 pages of written evidence. And I want to know what was I doing that I needed to do differently to thwart this kind of behavior. And that was, I think, one of the emails he's responding to. And I've come to the conclusion that there's two things that I can do. There's two things we can do. And the first of those is that when somebody goes off the wagon, somebody just starts spouting nonsense as abusive as these two individuals have become and we witnessed with Larry and those who supported him at Unpopular Truth. We can't wait. We can't show favoritism because we like them. We can't be patient. We can't ignore it. We have to deal with it. We need to separate ourselves from them and then expose and condemn their message. We need to do it. Can't put it off. Can't play nice. Can't pretend to be all loving and all supporting and all accommodating. They're in a cesspool of their own choosing, often of their own making. We can't pull them out. We shouldn't try. Walk away and then expose and condemn the ingredients of that cesspool. That's what we ought to do. We ought not replicate my mistake with Larry and Unpopular Truth. I was wrong. You know, we talked about this briefly, but I want to mention it again. I am so grateful that Yahweh's instructions to us are written in the imperfect, which indicates at the moment we stop making whatever mistake it is, we're no longer guilty of it. So if I were to treat these two individuals as I treated Larry and continue on and make excuses for them, then I would be exposing hundreds, if not thousands of people. In the case of Larry, I think it's tens of thousands of people that were driven away from Yahweh and the covenant as a direct result of what he did. That would not have occurred had I stood up earlier, taken a stand earlier. And in this case, I just don't want to replicate that. I don't want to continue to make the same mistake. So we can all do that. And then we as a group can, as a family, can avoid promoting anything that we haven't thoroughly vetted. And vetting it doesn't mean, you know, JB, you mentioned it. The Talmud misquotes, they're the same misquotes, the same references that are on hundreds and hundreds of sites. Everyone's parroting the same lies. And all you have to do is search for the book itself and read what it actually says.
I was going to say, you can find it free online at
right.
a number of Jewish sources. It's not hard.
It's not hard. In fact, there's even Jewish sources that are said, you know, can it be that the Talmud actually says these kinds of things? No. It's just
to be clear, I'm not endorsing the Talmud.
No,
I think it's
rough.
It's absolutely garbage. But don't attribute to it that which is not in it.
Lisa, are you with us?
Oh, yes. Shabbat Shalom.
Okay, Lisa, you wrote me a... You wrote me a paragraph that I had never considered before. And while you and I, and all of us, are opposed to every word in the Talmud and opposed to rabbinic Judaism, you said something of the Talmud and how the Babylonian Talmud historically came into existence that I'm convinced if you don't have that perspective, there's no way to understand it. What did you tell me?
Well, quite a few of the passages that are in the Talmud sounds like an abused child crying out from being persecuted by a Roman Catholic Church.
Yes.
And they are just the rants of very desperate people.
Right.
And because
they
have turned...
Do you know what the timing is of the Babylonian Talmud? You know what I'm talking about?
I think around 800, no?
Nope, 500 CE. Do you know when Roman Catholicism was imposed on Europe?
No.
400 CE. The Babylonian Talmud is absolutely and unequivocally abused children crying out against the persecution of Roman Catholicism. And not to understand that, context prohibits anyone from understanding what they wrote about the Gentiles, which they knew at that time as Romans.
Well, the clue is that Yahweh speaks about, and I will hand you over to those who hate you.
Correct, the Romans and Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics to this day, Roman Catholic children walk up to a Jew and say, Jew killer.
Yes.
As if they're so stupid that they don't know that their predecessors, the
myself,
Romans,
actually.
Are the ones that crucified a Jew.
Yeah.
That their Jesus, who's actually Yosha, always will be Jewish. And those that killed his body were Romans, not Jews. It is despicable, and yes, indeed.
And it is very upside down, because I learned the hard way in first grade that we, Jews, killed Christ, and it was in a very vile way. But you can always join the rest of the 2 million groups, different actual pages on the internet that say Jews are not the real Jews living in the land today. That would make Yahweh a liar.
That would make the timeline
a lie.
Correct. That is correct. That would make the timeline a lie. It would make Yahweh's prophetic statements an absolute lie, which is
my
one of the
question
why
to that would be, though, real simple, though. Given the history of the Jewish people and the oppression and the complete hatred the world has had for Jews throughout history, why on earth would any group decide that that's who we want to pretend to be? What gain do they get from that? There is, like, nothing but negative.
Ah, we are the big bad Jews.
Conspiracy makes no sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that lie, Lisa, was, at least I first read of it 20 years ago. And at the time, it was being promoted by a very disreputable individual. It was just anti-Semitic. And it, at the time, as I did my research on it, what I found is it really is no different than the Christian replacement theology. They wanted to say that, you know, the Jews aren't Jews. Therefore, the promises that God made to Israel
go to
must
them.
Be to us, must be for us. That was the whole mentality of the whole thing, which is why I think that this individual that I once thought I knew and liked, that his argument is just so despicable.
Yeah, you know what I don't understand? As a Yehud, I love Ruth. She's one of my favorite women in all of Torah. I love Misa Ruth. She came in and taught the Jews more about Torah, and she was from another nation. I love Ruth. Yeah. But don't pretend to be Ruth and try to steal an inheritance. This inheritance that Yahweh gave is for all people. And if you want to be a Ruth, graft in.
Right. Graft into what? Graft into Israel.
Yes.
The covenant is with
Yaakov,
who is Israel. If you want to be part of the covenant, you better love Israel. You better love Zion. You'd better love Jews. If you do not...
Your brother.
You're kidding yourself.
Love your brother.
Because the covenant was created by and for Jews. We have just been invited in. But it's still a Yahud family, a Israelite family.
Now, do you know what Ruth said?
Yeah, by the way,
like your Elohim
is the reconciliation of of course.
Let your land be my land. Where you dwell, I shall dwell.
Yeah. Of course.
One love.
It's, but the lies that have been perpetrated in this idea that, you know, the Jews aren't the real Jews, there's this black messianic movement that is very popular that makes
black Hebrew Israelites.
They claim that the blacks are really Jews. And of course, what do Mormons claim? The Mormons claim that the Native American people, and therefore they are the real Jews. I mean,
you want to know how far the black Hebrew Israelites got with their doctrine?
All lies.
Yeah, they are in Israel and have been there for 20 years squatting on land based on a lie.
Yeah.
And they have turned into a complete cult where one of the former members wrote a book to expose their nefarious dealings within Israel.
Yeah.
It's,
you know, what's
called
the cult
in Israel.
Yeah, is what's interesting, I think, is that one of the videos I saw, this guy that pretended to be a Jewish and had this headband on that was written in Hebrew letters and claiming to be an expert on the Talmud. Of course, all he did was to parrot the same misquotes that are on thousands of anti-Semitic sites. His purpose and the purpose of most of these videos was to say there's these terrible things written about Gentiles and sexual abuse and killing Gentiles and the like in the Talmud. And by the way, they don't actually exist in the Talmud. And therefore, Jews have this master plan to kill and enslave and rape Gentiles.
But particularly the
percentage
what?
Of Jews, you know, percentage of Jews, which is a race, not a religion. Do you know what percentage of Jews are religious?
Very few.
Yeah, about
40%, maybe.
Yeah, 30 to 40%, depending on how liberal you look at religion. No, Jews are a race. Judaism is a religion.
Wait, is that in America?
Relatively
are those
Jews.
The numbers in America, or in Israel?
I think it's even fewer in America.
Okay.
But worldwide, somewhere between 30 and 40% of Jews are secular humanists. No, excuse me. 30 to 40% of Jews are religious. 60 to 70% are secular humanists. Worldwide, probably more so in America. Now, also, the extrapolation is therefore that they make that these Zionists, you know, are part and parcel of this Talmud conspiracy to kill and rape and enslave Gentiles, none of which is actually in the Talmud, and they ignore the fact that the Zionists are almost never rabbinical Jews. In fact, none of the Shahs, the Halak, the fundamentalist Orthodox Jews in Israel, are Zionists. None. Zionism is a political movement today, and it's promoted by socialist secular humanists, by rabbinic Judaism. And they ignore that. I mean, it's a breach of logic that underpins this entire presentation. Moreover, Yah was the author of Zionism, and the purpose of Zionism hasn't been control of the world. Jews have never gone off and attacked other countries. Jews aren't looking for world domination. Zionism exists for the Jews to have access to their home, Israel. That's all it exists for. It's never been a political or economic plan to control the world or to demean, enslave, kill, or rape Gentiles. It's just stunning to me that people are so easily fooled. And the people that claim to be part of the covenant would promote that kind of rubbish.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The people who promote this stuff.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, normally if you said political leaders or religious leaders, you'd say money, sex, power. What's the motive for the Facebook crowd or people like that promoting these films? I know somebody's selling the film to somebody. But what is it? What's the
you know, with Larry, the appeal was he was empowered. He became king of his own personal fiefdom, and it was his means to control, to influence. And you know, if somebody wants to promote these despicable conspiracies, the idiotic conspiracies, they want to go make a fool of themselves. Not in their interest, not in anyone's interest that listens to them. Stupid thing to do, but go off and do it. But find your own audience. Don't take advantage of the one that has been drawn in because of my translations and insights, these programs and books. Find your own audience. And if you want to deceive people, that's stupid. It's immoral. But do so to your own group. And if you want to have credibility presenting that which has no credibility, don't try to usurp Yahweh's or my credibility by using the names, ideas, terminology, and translations found only in my books. Don't do it. It's just wrong. But you know, if somebody, as you say, there's millions of sites promoting anti-Jew, anti-Israel slander. I don't go to them. I don't expose them. I don't condemn them. I don't care about them. They're meaningless to me. But it is meaningful to me when somebody uses names and terms and translations that are those that I've derived, and tries to mislead the audience that has come because of what we've done on these shows and in those books.
Yeah.
That's a serious problem. So anything you'd... I mean, I know, Lisa, that I want to make a couple of points here. You did not write me on this, did you?
No.
No, as a matter of fact, the first person that wrote me and the second person both asked to remain anonymous. Neither of them, of the people that brought this to my attention, were participants in it. They weren't advocates for or advocates against. They did not mention who the participants were on either side. They didn't even state the issue. And you absolutely were not the one who conveyed this to me, nor did Dee convey it to me.
No, but
I finally
did
heard
remove
from Dee after
the person
I wrote
from
Dee a series of three letters before I got her to respond. And her response initially was, "I tried to keep you out of it. I just could not imagine you being having to endure this again. I tried to keep you out of it." When I wrote you, CC'd you a number of times, and it wasn't until today that I finally heard from you. So for those
this morning, yes, the laptop was in for repair. Still
so
having tech problems.
So for those that are making or having getting their jollies by demeaning you, like one of these individuals compared you to a glass of urine.
Oh yes.
Yeah. That.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, that's a disgusting human being. I don't have a problem mentioning his name. That's Dan Benson. He's the former military fellow from the UK that was in Baghdad, whose hugely edited letter removing his foul language and his inability to speak effectively, I shared, and subsequently has become Larry Light. The other individual, I'll leave his name unspoken until a future show, although it is said on the observation show. But to write that kind of thing about a woman is inexcusable. To write that kind of thing about a woman who happens to be part of, I was chosen, is despicable. This whole thing came up because this particular individual condemned Dee, as I have learned, of singing a song that mentions Yisrael to her children.
The Shema. Of all things, it's in the Torah.
Yeah, Shema. Delicious.
Jews die singing this song. They do.
Yeah, listen. That's right. And he condemned her for saying it to his children. That's how this all began. So, I want them to know that since you seem to be the object of their hatred, that you had nothing to do with this. Although, to your credit, I guess you were the first person to see their videos that they posted and said, "No, this is really wrong."
Yeah.
And but you did not bring it to my attention. I didn't.
No, I promptly removed them from the group and dealt with it. That's what you do. And you miss over.
And that's what we must do. We must disassociate from those who say these kinds of things. And then we must take the time to demonstrate that what they said was untrue. And I did a number of shows on debunking all of those conspiracy theories. They're easy to debunk, and you have to be thoughtless to believe them. And it's Yahweh is vehement about us not advancing conspiracy theories, the worst of which, of course, is the Jews are trying to control the world and enslave it and kill and pillage Gentiles, because they destroy our credibility. And he does not want us pursuing them.
Yes, we're so potent that UNESCO reclaimed the graves of our forefathers and gave it to Palestinians. We're so powerful that we have to ask permission to build fences and put bomb detectors anywhere because it's going to hurt the Palestinians.
Yeah. And, of course, you're condemned worldwide because you're building homes. You're building homes in your homeland. Can you imagine something as despicable? It's irritating to the world as you building homes in your homeland.
Or of the Jews being murdered today alone
Israel. Of course, the answer is the two-state solution. Give the terrorists.
Give our land away.
We gave because the United States and George Bush, the United States made certain that that Hamas and the Islamic jihadists would have Gaza. They have it. Now that Gaza is no longer occupied by Jews, is it a better place or a worse place?
Infinitely worse.
Infinitely worse.
But, you know, the world is pouring money into it, hand over fist. So they have very rich mansions for some, hotel resorts for others, full grocery stores, and every terrorist gets a stipend for the rest of his life. Go nation.
This is fantastic.
This is what the world wants.
Yeah, these are the people that that indoctrinate their children to hate Jews and teach them how to become suicide bombers and honor them when they kill innocent civilians, celebrating death. And yet the world wants to embrace them. Why? Because so many hate Jews. So you ask the question, why would somebody do this, Kirk?
Yeah.
With Larry, we know it was his means of power and control. His means to disorient people so that he could control them and abuse them. With Dan, who is now taking up this this agenda, it just fits him. He's uncouth. He's mean-spirited. His attacks on others and language are such that you'd expect him to be anti-Semitic. He is. Now, this other individual who I thought I knew, who I thought was absolutely covenant, who I came to really like, I don't know what got to him, who got to him. There are a number of people that said, well, it must have been Dan that influenced him, or somehow Larry, or that he came out of the South, and, you know, and it's hard to not be prejudiced being brought up in the South. You know, I was indoctrinated by my father to hate Jews, to hate blacks, to hate liberals, to hate Japanese, to be a racist, but also to be a flag-waving, pro-military patriot. At the same time, onward Christian soldiers and go off to church. That's what I was brought up, raised to be. I rejected all of those things. So being raised in a hostile environment is not an excuse. I don't know the answer. I wrote him a long letter this morning. I've shared it with many people. And I have not received a response from him. It's certainly my hope
that, and with anyone, that they're able to turn it around. Change their perspective.
I gave him that opportunity. At the end of the email, I said, you know, I don't think it's in you because, the individual that we all once thought we knew and liked was responsible for 90% of the promotion of anti-Semitism. And these videos and his own account of they're not really Jews. And I went to his site and I read what he had to say and how dominated his site is with this kind of information. And so, well, I don't think he's capable now of backing down. I think he's way too far down the stink hole. But I said, you know, if I'm wrong, and you're capable of admitting that you were wrong, that what you said was inappropriate, you disavow it, you remove all of it from your website, your Facebook site, you apologize to those that you hurt and misled as a result of it, and then take a time out, a long time out, to study and learn so that you never do it again. Well, you're welcome back.
Absolutely.
If you were looking at this as just the average Schmo throughout history, and you said of all the people in the world, Who am I afraid of?
Right.
They're not even on the radar.
No. No.
I mean, never
try to conquer another nation. They're not like the United States with their troops everywhere.
Not only that, have you ever been in a room full of Jews? We're tiny people. Come on.
Yeah.
Who's scared of me?
Yeah. The Israeli Defense Force is probably the only pure domestic defense force in the world.
Yeah.
They have no means whatsoever to protect a force. They're strictly defensive.
No,
I'm not a fan of the Israeli Defense Force. I'm not as a fan of Israeli politics. And by the way, it is acceptable to criticize Israeli politicians. But if you're going to do so in context of what they're enduring. This constant terrorist and murderous assault by the hundreds of millions of Muslims who surround them.
Barrage from every border and some within. You can't even put your child to sleep in their own bedroom without someone stabbing her in the night.
And recognize that the majority of Jews are not religious. That would be true of Israelis, too. So, do so fairly. Do so honestly. Don't cite an anti-Semitic video to do it. And do
or
so
conspiracy theory.
Right. And make sure that you don't go from politics to racism.
That's my thing. You know, if you want to criticize Israel politics, you want to criticize individual Israelis, to me, the thing is, where you lose me is when you start saying the Jews. The Jews are just like, as if they're, every single member of this race is getting together and plotting something.
Yeah.
I don't buy into that kind of thing. Yeah, you want to say a handful of Jewish people got together and are trying to do some bad stuff? Okay, that's probably true. That's happened. Yeah, you pointed out, Adam Weishaupt created socialism. Yeah, they're...
Right.
Jewish people have been responsible for many bad things. That does not make the Jewish race bad. That does not make all Jews part of a conspiracy.
Right. And
where people lose me.
And mind you, overwhelmingly so, the vast preponderance of the most evil people on the planet have not been advocates of Judaism. Even Adam Weishaupt was not an advocate of Judaism.
No.
His race is absolutely irrelevant to his position. Absolutely irrelevant. Chaim Weizmann that wanted Great Britain to honor him saving them with a homeland for his people was not religious. So, I have no
Shlomo Frank, who made up the whole book about garbage.
Talmud or anti-Judaism. But if you're going to do it...
Well, if you want to say a group of rabbis got together and created the Talmud and created a religion against God, that's true. It happened. But the entire Jewish race is not responsible for that. They were duped by it.
Put it in the context of what the Roman Catholic Church was doing to them. Put it in the context of time and history. And then if you want to refute it, do what I did at Prophet of Doom or Questioning Paul. Comprehensively, systematically, chronologically, present copiously documented evidence of what's in their writings and compare it to either other things they said, actual history, or the word of Yahweh. Do it comprehensively, systematically, honestly, intelligently, rationally. And if you can't do that, if you're not willing to invest the time, and by the way, criticizing the Talmud in that way would require 10 times the effort, 10 times the effort that I invest in either Questioning Paul or Prophet of Doom. And I have probably 5 years of my life invested in refuting Paul's letters and the Quran. And
to go through the Talmud and the Mishnah would take years upon years upon years.
But even if you just limited it to the Talmud and forgot about the Mishnah, which would be a mistake.
Oh, okay.
You have to be stunningly bright because the arguments, while corrupt, are vastly superior to those that Paul presented. The intellect on display is vastly superior to that of Paul and infinitely superior to that of Muhammad.
Yeah.
Criticizing the Talmud is the difference is that it's that is refuting Islam and Pauline Christianity is child's play compared to refuting the Talmud. Now that does not mean that the Talmud isn't evil. It's just evil perpetrated at a much higher intellectual level. And so if you want to expose it and condemn it, have at it. But you better devote years to it.
You better be accurate
and don't ever try to do it by posting someone's ridiculous anti-Semitic video. That's inexcusable. And that's what these two individuals did. And I would love somebody to say, you know, what I'm going to do is, and I don't think anyone's ever done it, what I'm going to do is write a prophet of doom or questioning Paul on the Talmud. And I think the reason no one's done it is because of the effort required. It would, you know, you'd have to wallow in their intellectual rubbish for decades to do the job.
Yeah. I thought about it at one time, and I was
perfect.
Supposed
They're
to...
They're not harming anybody. That's what's so amazing. I did it to Islam because they're responsible for 99% of the world's terrorist acts. I did it to Christianity because God calls it the plague of death and because it is the most despicable lie ever been perpetrated on humankind. But in the case of Judaism, they're not killing anybody. They're not trying to conquer anybody. They're not enslaving anybody. Not abusing anybody. What's the purpose? Why do it? It's like Mormonism. It's really easy. Now, Mormonism is child's play. It's really easy to refute Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon. I mean, you can do that.
Are they supposed to put magical underwear and weird stuff like that?
Yeah. But why?
Oh, wow.
Why bother? They're not out killing people, enslaving people. Is it stupid? Yes. Is it a waste of a life? Absolutely. Is it false? Totally. But why would I want to devote a year of my life to systematically refuting Mormonism? I'd much rather spend the year of my life
in Torah.
Coming to know more about Yahweh. Now, that said, Christianity has so negatively influenced people's perspective on the Torah that you have to deal with it if you want to promote the Torah. That's why Yahweh does. Islam has had such a negative influence on Yahweh's people and nation and message, and it's been so effective at corrupting it and replacing his path to life with a plan of death, that you have to deal with it. If you're going to present Torah, you have to deal with Islam and Christianity. But Yahweh tells you enough about what he has against his people politically and religiously that you don't have to go off and become an expert in the Talmud. I'm not. There's no reason to be.
Well, I liked your comment a long time ago. You said, you know, if this is the straight stick, I may have used that term, but you basically said the same thing. If the Torah is the straight stick, then everything else is false. I mean, it's only, if that's
correct,
the path, every other path, it doesn't matter what they is or how much you know about them.
That is true.
I understand the argument to fight them, but the only thing
true.
I really have to be concerned about, what did Yahweh say?
Well, that's true.
It was there.
Just explaining, proving that Yahweh is God, that he inspired the Torah, that the Torah is guidance, not law, and that the Torah presents the benefits and expectations of the covenant, and the benefits and the expectations of the Moed Mikre, the invitation to be called out by God. That doing that is and of itself sufficient
to destroy all of
to appeal to any rational, open-minded Jew.
Yes.
You do not need to go in and debunk rabbinic Judaism to to appeal to a rational and open-minded Jew if you simply present the Torah as it was intended. That is not the case with a Muslim. One has to debunk to prove that their religion is false for them to have any hope of coming to know who Yahweh is and what he's offering. And in their case, Christianity and Islam have not only influenced 2.5 plus 1.5, 4 billion of the world's 7 billion people, polluted them, deceived them, led them away from God. Because of the statements contained and the mindset, the idiocy of Christianity and Islam, most secular humanists are atheists and agnostics because of the stupidity of those religions. So the people that would be open to knowing Yahweh are closed to knowing him because they identify God with the stupidity of Christianity and Islam. And so if you don't take the time to expose and condemn the lies of Christianity and Islam and to disassociate Christianity and Islam from Yahweh, it's very difficult to reach the non-religious, socialist, secular humanist, the agnostic. So there is a reason to expose and condemn those religions. There is no reason, no benefit of exposing and condemning the Talmud.
How do y'all feel about this? I'm kind of gotten to the point where I don't think if they haven't started to move away from Babylon already, as Abraham did before he was approached, I'm not sure you can touch him.
Correct. Now, I would ask you, JB or Lisa, what is the definition of Babel?
Confusion.
Okay. But confusion created in what way? Because the word, a derivative of the word is confusion. The actual meaning
Babel.
Of the word isn't confusion. What does Babel actually
together.
Mean? That is correct. Mixing together. What
mm-hmm.
occurred on Unpopular Truth?
Mixing.
The Torah was mixed together with conspiracy and fake news lies. How did Paul create his religion?
Mixing.
Yep.
How did Islam
lies were true.
How did Islam gain credibility?
Mixing.
We're totally mixed.
Right.
Very poorly.
Right. And so all of these attacks, for example, all of the videos, they mix together a tiny element of truth with a pile of lies.
Yeah.
Mixing together is the means to deceive. And so you're right, they're still in Babylon because they are Babel. They're mixing together in such a way that people are confused. It is the reason that people at Unpopular Truth, when I said, listen, Lurie's not covenant. Dan's not covenant. They can claim to be all day long. They can condemn me and say, who appointed you, God, for saying that I'm not? Yeah, I was really clear as to what comes from him and what does not. He's really clear on the conditions of the covenant. And when your words are the antithesis of what is needed to pass Yahweh's test, I'm absolutely capable and qualified, as is everyone who studies the Torah, of making that determination. I'm not acting as judge. I'm just exercising good judgment.
No, it's what is the term? The children of Adam in the days of the last days shall be like the beginning. The Adam had what? A neshama, the ability to know right and wrong and to judge rightly.
Correct.
So if we're not able to judge rightly, this is all for nothing.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the Torah if it isn't to teach us how to exercise good judgment?
None.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Yeah. All right. So many people have been confused into believing that they are covenant, believing that they know Yahweh, using the Yahweh's name and claiming to be covenant, who have been babbled, who have been confused by the intermixing of snippets of truth and an ocean of lies. That is what's happened. They aren't who they claim to be. So there we have it. You know, I had hoped that we were going to get into the deception of Christian Bible translations today. We'll have to postpone that to next week's program. And
that's a very easy subject.
I had something to your note about the news that I wasn't able to get in on. About Israel's security measures at the Temple Mount, for lack of better words.
Yes.
Both of us get all trumped up
on the using Temple Mount because Yahweh refers to it as a Bayeth. It's Yahweh's Bayeth, which is his home for his family. And temple is really a an inappropriate term. It was Yahweh's home, in his words, his Bayeth, his home for his covenant family, is what the term means. And so the place is known as the Temple Mount, but it's really Yahweh's home. This is Zion. This is Moriah.
I can't say it that way quite yet until that mosque is gone. But
yeah,
Mecca announced today that they would be installing not only metal detectors, but bomb detectors at the Kaaba.
Of course.
Nothing says hypocrisy
more
than like Islam.
Yes. And, of course, what is the sole purpose of a metal detector at a public place? To stop people bringing in weapons. Why would Muslims be concerned that there are metal detectors on what we'll call, quote-unquote, the Temple Mount, outside of that despicable trophy of a mosque?
Because they want to kill
other
you.
Than they want to bring in weapons. You know, as I said, the Quran, is it metal? The prayer blankies, are they metal?
Nope.
Are they burqas?
And most of the perpetrators of those crimes end up going and hanging out around the big black box anyway.
Yeah.
They're not there to kill each other.
Well, the big black box is nothing but a drape over a pile of rocks. That's all it is. I mean, the Kaaba is a rock pile to rock gods that was part of the Arab pagan religion long before Muhammad decided to elevate three of those rock gods to rock star status. And that's the truth. Every one of the five pillars of Islam existed long before Muhammad conceived the religion.
Oh, yes.
And there were pagan practices of his ancestors, and every aspect of it is pagan, as is that rock pile to rock gods, no matter how pretty the black drape is over the blackness of the black stone that is purported to be the demonic god of Islam. Of course, that God, every aspect of that God's nature, his desire, his message, is identical with the way HaSatan is presented in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms.
Amazing.
It is amazing. It's all the way to the point that Satan's name, Halal, is the equivalent of what is good and pure in Islam. Like a halal market presents good Islamic food. And it's Satan's name.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by it everywhere here, close in Michigan, where I live close to the Ornithan.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't live here. I'm visiting.
I know.
It's everywhere.
Your brother,
I'm sorry. It is literally everywhere.
Your brother is dying. I'm sorry for you. That's a terrible thing. I'm glad that you have a chance to give him a deathbed opportunity to embrace Yahweh. I don't expect you'll be successful. You don't expect to be successful, but it's appropriate to try. I'm sorry for the impending loss. I understand he's going to lose his battle with death. Yes, Michigan is a cesspool of Islam. The city that I live in has a huge Islamic center and has an overwhelming preponderance of Muslims wearing the veil. I want to puke every time I see them. Now, why would you play religious dress-up to a man who is a rapist and pedophile?
Who beats you.
Ruthless parent.
And hates
you. Yes, correct. Hates women. Why would you play religious dress-up? Particularly in a free country. I understand why they do it in Islamic countries like Saudi Arabia, because to not do it is to die.
You want to survive?
Yes. But to do it in a free country, it just says you're thoughtless. Moronic. I shake my head in disgust every time I see them. But, you know,
I applaud any Muslim woman who walks away from that get-up, because that's horrible. That is not...
A Muslim woman, to have any hope, they have to walk away from more than just the get-up. They have to walk away from a lie that is the Quran, is Allah, is Muhammad. They need to walk away from all of it. And that only gets them out of the hell that is Islam. From there, it's a long way to the truth. But at least that's a nice first step.
Well, I'm speaking to a girl in the United Arab Emirates who sent me a picture of her passport, and on her hand is written, "I love Israel." There's still hope.
Wow. Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, I wrote Prophet of Doom on behalf of Muslims, hoping that they would come to recognize the truth. You know, my wife today wanted me to go see a movie called The Big Stick, which is supposed to be a comedy written by Ray Romano about a non-Muslim marrying into an Islamic family. I don't see the humor in that. I wouldn't see it. I would not.
I would be devastated.
I will not. I'd be, you know, it's just devastating to think that people think that's funny. 250,000 little girls mutilated sexually. 750 million women demeaned, essentially enslaved, treated as property by that religion, sold to those who would abuse them. A religion that promotes kidnapping little girls and selling them off as sex slaves while reciting the Quran. Now, Muhammad was a rapist. The first Muslims were serial rapists. Muhammad was a despicable pedophile. It's not my opinion. It's a refutable fact.
It's a fact. And worse, much worse.
To be a woman,
I've read the Quran.
In fact, to be a feminist, I know what he did. And not oppose Islam, to see all these feminists and liberals embracing Muslims as they go off in protest, it just shows you how ignorant they are, how irrational they are.
If the woman you mentioned at the beginning of the show is the same Muslim feminist I'm thinking of, they love her in Dearbornistan. Love her.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
She draws huge crowds.
Yeah. Of course, she's a feminist wearing the veil, wearing a hijab. Some feminist, huh?
And I'm sure she's missing some girl parts also.
Yeah,
that's feminist.
Yeah. Like this family
was
from a true story that was giving this woman a hard time and their son a hard time for him marrying outside of his religion. They don't bother to say that that in Islam, because women are property, it's okay for a Muslim man to marry a Christian woman. But it is not acceptable for a Muslim woman to marry a non-Muslim man. She's property.
Right.
They own her.
They will kill her.
Of course. Yeah.
It's called honor killing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Her own blood will kill her.
And, of course, the majority of Muslim little girls in Pakistan have been sexually mutilated by their own mothers.
Honorable to murder your daughter.
Yeah, to mutilate your daughter.
I couldn't imagine doing that.
And, of course, in Pakistan, to speak honestly about Islam is considered blasphemy, and they will kill you. In fact, they'll drag you out of your home and hack you to death, and yet they want to be respected and accepted here in America. And stupidly, we do so. Yeah.
There are still some Christian parts of the world that if you were to go in the village square and say that Jesus is a fraud and explain why, they'll chop you to pieces also.
Of course. Oh, if you look at the fundamentalist Hindu towns in India, if a woman wants out of the caste system, if she doesn't want to be sold off to some disgusting heathen of a man, she's publicly disrobed and then publicly raped by these immoral bastards. It's all religion is wrong. All religion. Judaism, Hinduism,
yes.
Christianity, Mormonism, Scientology, socialist, secular humanism, religion of man, they're all disgusting. They're all wrong. They're all misleading. They're all counterproductive. Every one of them is wrong. Yahweh alone is right. And he hates religion. He hates politics. He hates militarism. He hates all the things that the vast majority of people embrace as good.
You know, when I was reading those posts this week, it reminded me who was the first one really to speak disparagingly of the Jews. And that man was named Paul.
Yeah, that's probably true. But, you know, I mean, clearly the Greeks, when they came to control Yehudah, there was really no Israel at the time because the twelve tribes had been hauled off into captivity.
Sure.
But Yehudah, the province of Yehudah, existed, and the Greeks despised Jews, despised them.
Yeah.
And the Romans hated them even more because they wouldn't embrace wouldn't join their military or embrace their pagan religion. They hated the Jews. And then Roman Catholicism is nothing but a religious form of Imperial Rome, and they hate them as well. It's been a long period of time, but yes, lots of Jews are self-wounding. Paul was a great example. Akiba was. I mean, if it was not for Akiba, there would not have been the Diaspora. The diaspora that led to the Holocaust is directly attributable to Rabbi Akiba creating a false religion based upon a false Messiah, and of him relying on a warlord as opposed to Yahweh. That's why I don't like the idea.
Yes, he died a terrible death.
Yeah. And so the history of Jews inflicting injury on Jews is prevalent.
What happened to Maimonides?
So it was. I don't know how Maimonides ultimately died. I mean, what happened? The story of Maimonides is that he grew up in Islamic occupied Spain. Despite the myth that the Muslims were tolerant and loving during that period, by the way, one of the things I talked about how Jews and Muslims got along great in Israel prior to the advent of Zionism and the fact they can't live together is an absolute lie. You know, you ought to read about the time of British occupation. And the rise of the influence of the Grand Mufti Husani and his influence and treatment of Jews, history and truth doesn't matter to these individuals. But you know, as you go through the history of these things, it is so clear. This is happening. Now, I was talking about Maimonides. Maimonides proves that Muslims were not tolerant of Jews during their occupation of Spain. Maimonides and his parents and everyone associated with the Jewish community had to flee Islamic-controlled Spain, and they went to Morocco. Now you'd say, well, Morocco was also Islamic. Yeah, but Morocco at the time was actually more tolerant because, you know, they'd already murdered everybody. You know, that's why, that's where the Fez and the Red Calf, the rivers of blood in the streets after the first Islamic barbarians were so savage following Muhammad's death. So he went to Morocco moved from there to Cairo, where he became the doctor and advisor to Saladin. He was active, very active, in support of the Islamic theocracy that controlled Egypt and much of the Middle East at the time. So this was a man that sold his soul to Satan.
Yes,
Maimonides is despicable.
Yeah.
And Maimonides is, of course, the person that codified modern Judaism.
Yes.
Pharisaic Judaism, as it exists today, its father is Rabbi Akiva. Now, the rabbis existed starting about, 200 BCE. What became Rabbinic Judaism ultimately was conceived during the split under the Greek control, the Ptolemaic influence over Israel, where the where one side still clung to the idea that Yahweh had established the Lowy, misnamed Levites, as the priests, and another group rose that says, no, we're smarter than God, and we're going to have people called exalted rabbis in charge, and we're going to decide who's in charge, and it's not going to have anything to do with them being a part of the tribe of Lowy, of Levites. And so that's the birthplace of it, is back then. And it had evolved to there were three principal warring groups, fighting groups at the time of Yosha in the first century. The Essenes, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. It was Rabbi Akiva, 33, that ended the rivalry between the three groups. And of course, the Essenes were essentially destroyed by the Romans, and they were wiped out. And the Sadducees, that were political liberal Jews, they were done in by Akiva and his plotting. So Rabbi Akiva is really the father of modern rabbinic Judaism, and then it was codified by Maimonides, this Islamic-loving scumbag of a man. He is the one that came up with the 13 principles of Judaism, none of which are consistent with Yahweh teaching.
Well, God
and,
is one.
Codified
one
in
one
right.
Yeah,
right.
It's supposed to be a guide for the perplexed. But you know what? It just is more perplexing than anything.
Yeah. Yeah,
and all three of
is,
the groups you spoke of, the Essenes, the Sadducees, and, you know, they're all dysfunctional. And
right.
Pharisees, and
right.
All dysfunctional groups that mix the truth with lies.
With lies, yeah. Right. And the principal argument of the rabbis was and is the same, is that you should never read the Torah because you're incapable of understanding it. Evidently, God is a very ineffective communicator, and that only they
He's great at communicating
to them. And you can only study what their arguments in the Talmud, and never the Torah itself. That
yeah, you're supposed to view it from the eyes of the perspective of the wisdom of the sages.
The rabbis.
Although they weren't so wise.
Correct.
Yeah.
That is the entire presentation of rabbinic Judaism. Do not read the Torah, because you're incapable of understanding it. The rabbis have to interpret it for you.
And most of all, do not read the Aniel, or your hand will fall off. Don't you know?
Yeah.
How is that different from the Roman Catholic Church when the Vulgate, and you had to learn Latin, and nobody was allowed to have a Bible? So,
Same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing. That's how religions always work.
Yeah.
You know, what is the, why is it in Islam and Islamic countries that if you speak honestly of who Muhammad was and how Islam was conceived, they kill you.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, why is it that they only recite the Quran and have no concept that the Quran is hadith? They have no concept that all of it was derived from pagan lore. And the only parts that even seem remotely credible are those that were purchased from rabbinic recitals of the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, mind you, that were then twisted by Muhammad to suit his personal agenda, which was sex, power, and money. I mean, it's so obvious, but they are all incapable of recognizing the obvious. But it's the same thing. You know, if you were to tell a conspiracy theorist that chemtrails are stupid, and here's why, they're condensation trails, and that chemtrails is preposterous for a host of reasons, evidence and reason will affect them, they'll just go right about and say, see, you've been bought off. You're part of the generation that have been bought off and that are deceiving us. Yeah, that's
okay.
Just the same. You know, if you expose 9/11 for what actually happened, particularly in Building 7, you go through a systematic explanation of how it happened. No, we're going to believe the impossible. We're going to believe that our government perpetrated this to cover up
the Anunnaki are coming.
In 9/11. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. They're incapable. If you were to present any one of the 1,000 reasons that we should reject Paul to a Christian, I can't process any of them.
So now the next question: if that's true, then is it the dumbing down education system, or is it really just a dysfunction in the shaman?
I think the shaman is destroyed by religion. It's destroyed by politics. It's destroyed by patriotism. It's destroyed by militarism. That perspective, that
it's destroyed by our education system.
Yeah.
Well,
and now it's destroyed by our
religion. And your own personal bias. Throw that in there, too.
Yeah. So these things are all destructive to the Nesama. And the vast preponderance of people today are incapable of thinking. Now, if you go through the previous 2,000 years, most people aren't to blame for the delusions that were perpetrated upon them. The average person in Europe was played for a fool, was used as a slave by the Roman Catholic Church and the politicians they empowered. They played them for fools. They left them in the dark. They misled them, and they tortured them if they stepped out of line. The same thing is true in any Islamic country today. So the average person for most of the last 1,450 years, you're talking about Islam, 2,000 years, you're talking about Christianity, have been deliberately misled. Same thing is true of Jews with Judaism. They have been, and they've had very few opportunities to break free of that delusion. That's not God's fault. It's man's fault.
Right.
And someone said, well, that's just not fair that they really didn't have an opportunity. Well, why is it not fair? Yahweh revealed the truth. Man corrupted it. It's not his fault.
Yeah. And they rejected it and they left, too. And then they built their own worlds all these other places. So, I mean, it's not fair.
But the free flow of information that there is today, few have excuse.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I myself have posted free college courses.
Right. Right. So the people said it's not fair to those people living when they didn't have access to the truth. Well, today, 0.5 billion Christians have access to the truth. Doesn't faze them. 1.5 billion Muslims have access to the truth. Doesn't faze them. You know, a billion secular humanists have access to the truth. Doesn't influence them.
Well, you know, it's only unfair if they're punished for their choice when they didn't have access.
And
the whole idea of heaven and hell, if they are sentenced to an eternity of hell for their choice and they didn't have access, that's one thing. But if they just simply cease to exist following a natural course, that's perfectly fair.
That's perfectly fair.
It's not only fair.
And you ought not feel sorry for them because of the fact that the same religious influences today exist, and given the opportunity, the freedom, and the ability to learn the truth and respond to the truth, they do not do it.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
Honestly, they don't care. It's just staggering.
And Yahweh still brings the rain and gives us a fruitful planet and provides his Torah.
This planet is evolving very, very, very rapidly. It is evolving in every possible way, from the human genome to our environment, the world to weather patterns. The planet is devolving. It's suffering from the negative effects of thermodynamics, of entropy. And until it is washed clean and restored by Yahweh and the 5 days between Kippurim and Sukkah in 2033, it will continue to deteriorate. Man's influence has been horrendous. So that is the reality. Well, Lisa, thank you for joining us. I look forward to you doing your study on debunking the myths that were promoted, particularly by the person that we previously had thought we knew and liked. I don't think there's any purpose whatsoever to speak of what Dan was promoting. That man is just something seriously wrong with him. And so I just don't care. But for the myths promoted by the man who we thought we knew, you're going to take the myth that Jews aren't Jews. I'm going to take the miscitations of the Talmud to make all Jews seem like they're trying to enslave and murder and rape the Gentile world. And Kirk, you're going to take the revisionist history that was in the other videos, correct?
Mm-hmm. I can do that.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, and what we also said during observations, and I want to restate here for those who are not broadcasting, but those who are listening to the archives, we're not trying to be exclusionary here. If you want to jump in, and you want to contribute, whether it's the likes of Roy, who's brilliant, or Jackie, who knows Yahweh exceedingly well and is extraordinarily bright. Please do so. We want you to do so, no matter who you are. You're encouraged. You know, I get lots of very thoughtful letters from Brad. Do so. Dr. Jeff Grill is extraordinary in this regard. Participate. Yeah, participate. JB, you are your review of Enoch and of circumcision was thorough, accurate, effective, appropriate. Pick one of these things, and if you have time, I know you're a new dad and work has been busy, but by all means, you guys all have one another's emails. Yeah. Pick one of them and let's expose it and condemn it as a team. That's half of the battle. You know, half of the battle is immediately separating from those who are promoting these kinds of lies, and the second half is then refuting what they have to say so that others are not misled by them. Because as I understand it, Lisa, the majority of those on these various Facebook sites that are populated by those who claim to be covenant, sided with, supported the individual who's promoting the anti-Semitic videos.
There were quite a few, yes.
Staggering.
In their defense, when someone's using something I call word salad, mixing things around, and being very confusing and clever at it,
right,
you really need to understand what is a logical fallacy and what are the general parameters of debating a topic. rhetoric, statistics, logic, reason.
Yeah.
These are all things that I posted, free college courses on my own page that people can take advantage of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lost art. Yeah, I think I would say you have to be almost 60 to have had access to those kinds of classes and electives in high school and college. That's when they were
based. Someone gave me that as a piece
not
of
anymore. They're free
I was,
online.
When I was young and single,
and you can
yeah, find a woman
yourself,
who's good at debate.
No matter
make
how
your life easier.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. You can have access to them, but it's not part of any normalized curriculum.
Yeah.
With one exception, and that is that there are a number of electives in law school that teach rhetoric and debate, logic. Lawyers, in fact, lawyers is one of the very few careers where to practice law, you have to have a morality check. It's very few professions have a morality check, and it's thorough. It's a year-long morality check. It's surprising, considering how bad a reputation lawyers have.
Yeah, moral.
But that's still, it's the only profession that I'm aware of that has a morality check. And it's thorough. It's a year-long. And you're not allowed to.
The problem there comes in that morality can be a bit of a subjective thing.
Yeah. Of course. And, of course, their morality is far more criminal than it is anything else.
Yeah.
But, you engage in abusing women or crimes, you aren't going to be a lawyer. If you're a drug user, an alcoholic, you're not going to be one. You're not going to. You can, get into those things later in life, but otherwise you're not going to.
You can become
one. Yeah. But my wife brought to my attention something that I was just thought was, I think I'd pass on, that I was unaware of. Here in Cincinnati, a 10-year-old boy died of an overdose of fentanyl, which is the synthetic heroin, 100 times more powerful, of course, than heroin. And the boy's a good boy. He had no intent of being exposed to heroin. His mother's well-educated, well-spoken woman. The police have done an investigation. They know that the boy did not deliberately take a dose of fentanyl, and the mother did not offer it to him, and the mother and the son were never engaged in drugs. But fentanyl can be absorbed through the skin. And as little as what you would get in a shake on a stingy salt shaker is enough to kill you.
Really?
This boy was exposed to fentanyl at a children's playground. He just touched
wow.
it, didn't know what it was, just plain. And somebody had it on, dropped it, spilled it on a playground gym apparatus. That's where he touched it, and it killed him.
Wow.
That's sad.
Horrible.
Yeah.
His mother must be devastated.
Oh, she is. Now, speaking of devastated, I don't know if you've seen the testimony of the parents, particularly the fathers of those sailors who died because of the stupidity of the crew on the USS Fitzgerald that did not give way to a ship that had the right-of-way for three reasons. Its relative positions, it had the right-of-way. Its size, it had the right-of-way. Maneuverability, it had the right-of-way. And who failed to see this ship and respond to it, even though it would have lit up like the sun on the radar because it was filled with rectangular objects versus the warship that's specifically designed to be radar invisible. The U.S. Navy is now admitting that they're at fault. It was obvious that they were at fault for all of those reasons. And how these sailors, seven of them, died so needlessly. And when somebody wrote me that today, I wrote them back and said, that's the purpose of the U.S. military, needless death. I also want to bring up the tragedy in Minnesota where a Muslim policeman, Minnesota is so progressive, they want to do right by being inclusive brought in a Somali Muslim to be a cop. And sitting in the passenger seat, a woman who had called 9/11 twice because she heard of a woman being raped outside of her her apartment, walked in her pajamas to the police, who she had called twice through 9/11. And the Muslim in the passenger seat drew his gun, shot directly in front of the other officer, shot the woman and killed her. There's something horrendously wrong with the police in this country.
Who shot the woman in her pajamas, the one who calls? That's incredible.
Yeah, she did. Shot her in her pajamas.
Yeah, in her pajamas.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Unarmed, the only device she had was her phone, because she was using it to call 9/11. She walks up to the car, begins a conversation with the driver, who's a cop, and this Muslim sitting in the right seat shoots her and kills her. Sonny. Yeah, we have a serious problem in this country with our police. So many issues in the country. But I did want to bring those up since they were a part of today's and yesterday's news. Sad, sad stories. Indicative of what we have become. All right, well, thank you. I look forward to being with you again next week. You know, once you've, you know, far enough in your research that you can shoot me some texts, JB, Kirk, Lisa, anybody who's listening that wants to participate, send it to me. I want to read what you have discovered before we go on air, but I want each individual to present their own research. You know, and I'll just chime in as thoughts cross my mind. But I mean, you don't have to share it with me. I don't mind, you know, just responding to it on the fly. Typically, this works better if I ask you questions that lead you through your own research, and I can do a better job of that if you send it to me.
Yeah, that's true.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay. Yes, good. We'll do exactly what we did with Kirk with your presentation of the Exodus as it was verified by Egyptian witnesses, and then the influence of the Amalekites.
Okay.
Okay.
Will do.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, JB.
All right. Hi, everybody. Shabbat shalom. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah. And by the way,
wonderful Shabbat. Shabbat shalom.
This weekend, you're going to go check the site of the man that we both considered a friend. When I was there yesterday, it was dominated with anti-Semitic rants and videos. Now, he has received my letter this morning. He may have removed them. If he has removed them, if you witnessed something different than what I saw when I went there before my letter, then I'm in the possession of screenshots that that have all this material. So I'm happy to forward it to you if it has been removed.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll start looking into it this week.
And there was nothing I wanted more than for it not to be true. I mean, originally I wrote D and said, you know, and like the others, I said, you know, clearly this must be the other friend.
Yeah.
I said it must be.
Couldn't we thought his page was hacked.
Yeah, and couldn't be. It's impossible. And I would not have believed it had I not gone to a site and gone to Dan's site and experienced it myself. I would not have believed it. And it wasn't a matter of, well, there was an occasional goof here, so you've got these, you know, one or two references to things which aren't true and an ocean of things which are relevant and profound and accurate. No, it was dominated by this anti-Semitic material. As a matter of fact, this individual's contribution was 10 times greater than Larry Light's.
Mm-hmm.
10 times greater.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what got to him. I don't know how it happened. I don't know if he's always been a racist and just hit it well, or somebody influenced him and he went off on a tangent. I don't know. But he is what he writes. And I'm not going down that path again.
No.
no matter how much I like somebody. I'm just not going down that path again. I made a horrible mistake with Larry. I'm never going to make it again. So,
I can't blame you there.
So, once you witness it, let me know.
Okay, I will.
Okay, all right. But with the other individual, with Dan, I don't care. Not even worth it. Didn't write him a letter.
I don't really know Dan, so I can't say anything about him.
You're not missing anything. You did post, though, my edit of his letter, I think, on your site, because I asked
yes.
you to.
Well, I posted it on the forum. I don't. I know him from that, but that's about the only real correspondence I've ever seen from him, so.
Okay. If it's prominent on the forum, we may want to remove it. If not, then let it stay, but... It's he turned out to be a charlatan. He's Larry Light. And not very light. I mean, the same rhetoric, same arguments, same disgusting verbiage, same abusive nature of Larry.
That's sad.
The psychological failings of Larry that caused him to be so abusive, so vile, so misleading, self-serving. This individual obviously suffers from them. They are the same. All right. Well, thank you. We look forward to being with you again next week. And thank you, Kirk, for participation on two shows. I know I'm wearing you out.
Yes, sir. Always my pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right.
See you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.